for a missionary to give his life, dedicated to reaching others for Christ. We'll hear from Brother Mormon later this morning, and some of them probably tonight, but they went ahead and asked me to go ahead with the regular Sunday school lesson this morning. And so we'll do that. If you'll go to 1 John chapter 4, we've been in chapter 4 a bit, kind of got hung up on the first few verses. And if you'll listen fast, I intend to move on a little faster this morning. I said I intend to. Sometimes my intentions don't never come to fruition. Amen. Who was that? Ushers, y'all aren't doing your duty. There's somebody like that in here. All right. We're joking with Brother Cruz up there. We've learned to put up with him through the years. And somebody not long ago, see, this is costing me time, Brother Jeff. Somebody not long ago said, I went to that church, and somebody hollered at the preacher, and he hollered back at him. Whoever they were talking to must have been a regular member of this. Said, oh, that was Brother Cruz. Probably was, amen. All right, listen, we enjoy our salvation, we don't endure it, right? And there's a lot of things to cry about in the ministry, but there's a lot of things to rejoice and laugh about too. Amen. 1 John chapter 4. We remember this. John is the writer. I speak of the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Jesus written by John, one of the four Gospels. And then we also remember that he wrote other books. And of course, he wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and also the book of Revelation that we just finished with. And we can see the earmarks of different writers. You very, very quickly begin to recognize Paul's writing. Then you begin to recognize John's writing. Listen, if I pick up a pen to write with it and it writes blue, I can pick up another one, it may write black. I may pick up another one that writes red. But the one that picks it up is the one bringing the message. And the Holy Spirit of God picks up a man and uses him. Amen. You might recognize a little bit of the different tone or expressions that Paul might use, but the Holy Spirit's governing that. Amen. Same thing with the rest of the writers. So a lot of Bible scholars spend a whole lot of time worrying about the style of a certain writer. You better worry about the message God has given you through that particular writer. Amen. And in 1 John, he's writing to believers, writing to Christians, writing to you and I about how to live after we're saved. And he's also warning us. And in chapter 4, he warned us to not to trust every spirit, to test them, to try them. And so we've spent some time on that and got into it a little bit and went back to Ephesians 6 about how we're in a wrestling match, a warfare with the devil. And that is really big. And folks, if you want to understand the news today, you better see it in that perspective. It is a warfare between good and evil, between God and the devil. Amen. And people are being deceived, and even those often that know much truth can still be deceived. We've got to be on guard. And so that's what John is telling us here. Said, beloved, believe not every spirit, little s on that. And it's the spirits of evil. And the Holy Spirit, of course, is the capital S, the one that we listen to, the one that lives within us after we're saved. And he is the one that will help us test and try. And also, let's be careful as believers not to judge each other too close, because sometimes the devil gets in a blow. He strikes hard. Every Christian don't win every battle. We have a warfare. We fight the old fallen nature. We fight this evil world. We fight the evil spirits that are trying to trip us up and deceive us and do harm. So let's be careful in that area. That don't mean we condone sin. It don't mean we are afraid to point it out. But what it does mean is we have a Christian view and understanding. And to understand the weakness of the human nature, shouldn't do that to excuse it, but to be warned against it and to not let it happen to us. So we detest the spirits, and we've talked about that some, and it's a subject I could go on, and I did go an extra lesson on, time on it, but I want us to move on just a little bit down to verse 4, and we'll kind of enter into the verses, and all I intend to do is go through the what he's plainly saying here, and this is personal. This is writing to us as family. This is writing to us on the inside. And it is necessary for us. He said, ye. Now you pick out a lot of personal pronouns through these next few verses. Figure out who's being spoken about. It says, ye are of God, little children. Now that's talking to Christians. We are of God. We are children of God. He calls us little children. Now little children don't always have the understanding that older children do. Some of us in here have been saved longer than others. We ought to have grown a little more in the faith. But in God's viewpoint, we got a long way to go. We're still little children. And that's what John calls us right here. But then he says, and have overcome them. Now that them can take us all the way back up here to trying the spirits. The evil side that's against us. But he tells us we are overcomer in other places. And he says we have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's a good one to keep in your mind. That's a good one to quote to yourself. All right. Overcome them means we were struggling with them, don't it? And it means the them is the other side. The ones that are fighting us or disagreeing with us. So we've overcome them because greater is he, God, the Holy Spirit, that is in you. Now, when you get born again, that's a reality. Yes. As a pastor through the years, I saw men get saved sometime from an awful rough life, bad habits, deeds they done they wish they hadn't, all of that. I've seen that through the ministry, and I saw something that told me very quickly if they really got born again, because on the inside they had a witness they didn't have before. They had somebody working for the inside. I remember a man, a good-sized man, bigger than me, and a hard-working man. And he told me, he said, you know, he got saved here, right here in this church. And he said, you know, I knew that was wrong before you ever said it was. Now, what do you mean? He meant the Holy Spirit that could be with him went inside of him, and he had a preacher on the inside before the preacher on the outside ever got around to that particular thing that he was doing. He said, I knew I had to quit that. And he said, I knew that from the very beginning. How do you know? He wasn't a Bible reader. How do you know? He didn't go to church that much. How do you know? Something on the inside said, now you quit this. Amen. This is wrong. And you meet some, but where the Holy Spirit speaks to them and they disagree with them and they rebel, and I want to tell you, if they're really saved, that's right where their growth stops. They don't grow anymore until they get past that place they're rebelling on God. It works that way. I had a fellow say to me not too long ago, he said, the dumbest thing, I reminded him that the Bible says it's thou shalt not commit adultery. He said, that's the dumbest rule you've got. I said, not my rule. I said, when you see the one that made the rule, you can talk to him about it. And you will. You will. If you really see him. Now, if you really belong to him, that conviction's going to settle in there, and you're not going to get rid of it until you repent of it, until you turn from it. And so here we notice the warfare going on through these verses as we have the other side referenced quite a bit. It says here in verse 3 that that's the spirit of the Antichrist. And then the good news is we got one greater than that, greater than the evil spirit on the inside. But listen, God is a God of freedom. He lets you make a choice. Even after you're saved, you have a freedom to say yes or no to God. To live like he wants you to live, or live like the devil wants you to live. And you'll reap for it in this life, but the truth is you still have a choice. You still have a free will. A lot of folks fuss at us Baptists, and they say, well, you Baptists don't give me a free will. No, we just tell you how to exercise that free will if you want to be blessed. Amen. And if you don't exercise it that way, It's an Old Testament scripture, and it's just a principle, but it says God honors them that honor him. Amen. And if you'll observe Christian life, you'll see that. Long time before I was ever preaching, I was youth leader in the church, got saved at 22. I was a youth leader. I was a deacon later. And I saw people come to church and get saved. And I saw what they kind of life they were living when they got saved. And I saw those that kept coming and wanting to know right. I saw God bless them. Pretty soon that old junky car turned into a better car. Pretty soon their clothes looked a lot better. Pretty soon the habits dropped off. What was the difference? They were choosing by their own free will to say yes or no to God, to honor him or not honor him. And the argument still goes, even among believers, does it pay to serve God? Yes, it does. Amen. Only thing is, sometimes we don't recognize the paycheck. Sometimes we think it only pays off in this world's goods. Oh, no, it can pay off 100 different ways besides it being the visible things and material things of this life. And what a difference. You can't put a price tag on having peace of God when you lay down at night to go to sleep. You can't put a price tag on the joy that others might not ever understand. Relationship with your wife or your kids or your family. Money can't buy those things. It's sad. A lot of folks think it can. I've often said this, that a rich man, in a way, is smarter than a poor man in this sense. The poor man thinks if he was rich, he'd be happy. The rich man knows that being rich don't make you happy. There's a knowledge there that comes that can only God can put that in there, that peace on the inside. So we look at it here. You're God's little children. You got one greater in you than the one that's in the world pulling against you. Then you got these, look at these references again. They, who's the they're talking about here? I used to think as a kid, I wanted to find they and kill them. You know what I'm talking about? Because mama would say, this is what they said. And generally that was what I disagreed with. So I thought, mama, if I ever catch they, I'm gonna do something bad to them. Who is the they? I often said, mama, who is the they? Well, that's what they say. You ever hear that one? What they say? You very wise if you find out who the they are. We're hearing it on the TV. We're hearing it through the news media. We're hearing it through social, all that stuff. And our young people are influenced by they, and they've never met they. They don't know who they are. And that's too bad. That's keeping up what we used to say in the old days. This don't even make sense to this crowd today. We used to say, keep it up with the Joneses. Anybody ever hear that? Oh, yeah, this is God's truth now. I saw this when I was a Christian, but I wasn't very, 2 or 3 years saved. And I was out servicing a man's house. He had a brand new Cadillac. Now, I got an eye for cars, not money to buy them, but I like to look at them. And he had a new Cadillac. And I said something good about it. And he was a retired man, probably from up north. Not too many around this area had Cadillacs in those days. But anyway, he and I got talking a little bit. And about that time, his neighbor, 2 or 3 houses down, pulled out. And he was driving a Cadillac. Drove it down the street. I took note of that. And I said, yeah, there, your neighbor's got one too. He said, yeah, but his don't have air conditioning. I said, what? He said, you see, when he went by, had the windows up, he's dying inside that thing. It don't have air conditioning, but he wants me to think it does. Keeping up with the Joneses. Amen. That's human nature, isn't it? Boy, that's human nature. And that's kind of ridiculous. He could afford the Cadillac, but not the extra back then. You used to pay extra for that. Yes, you did. And I got off on that. But the truth is, that's what we are. Who is they? Who are they giving me this advice? Who are they that's setting the standard? Who is they saying I got to be like them? Boy, young people are trapped into that, and not just the young. I mean, man, this old thing of keeping up with the Joneses, so to speak, is very real, very, very real. But it says here, they are of the world. Now, here's where we get in danger with Christians. Are we letting the they of the world set the standard for us? The scripture, we know this world's not our home. In fact, over here in John in chapter 2, what did he say? He said, love not the world, neither the things. Now, Cadillacs would fit into things. Neither the things of the world. For those that, he said, the world passes away. You know, that was so many years ago. I saw those Cadillacs. You know where they're at now? In a junk heap. They've already been melted down and turned into something else. Not much value to them now. And that's where the whole thing's going to be when it winds up. Amen? One fellow jokingly, little truth in it though, told another guy, he said, you want that thing so bad, you better get it now, because where you're going, if you took it with you, it would melt. And I know what he was saying. And we ought to think about that. Don't love not the world, neither the things of the world, for the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abideth forever. That is a big difference. The temporal and the eternal. The things that are seen, scripture says, and the things that are not seen. Where do I put my heart? If it's only what I can see, taste, touch, that's going to pass away. But there's something more valuable than that. And sometimes somebody says, oh, I'd like to be the rich man. Well, down here would be some advantages to that. But you're going to live it and leave it at the grave. Some of the country songs sometimes have a little bit of truth in them. You may, what does it say, drive it to the grave, but somebody else will drive it away. That sort of thing. I think about the rich Texan that left a request to be buried in his gold Cadillac. I don't know why I'm against Cadillacs. I'm not really against them. I like them, but comes to mind, he was going to get buried in his gold Cadillac. And so they had a crane out there, and they put him in the Cadillac, and they had the hole dug, and they was lowering that Cadillac into the grave to bury him. Fellow in the crowd says, boy, that's really living. You think, no. But that's how foolish we are when we let the material things dictate to us and grab us. So he's telling us here, they are of the world. Therefore, speak they of the world. The words I've just been using, Cadillacs and stuff, speaking of the material things of the world. And the world heareth them. Oh, yes, it does. That's why they give a stock market report on the news every day, right? That's why we're worried about the economy going up or down. That's the world's language. As believers, I'm against the evil in the world. I'm going to speak against it. I think I'm commanded to contend for the truth, the faith. And so I don't apologize for that. But I also give a warning with it. Don't let that stuff be your life. You know what? I'm going to fight it till I take the last breath. But the truth is, only God can fix it. Now, I know I want him to know which side I'm on, and so I'm going to declare it. But don't so get wrapped up in it. That's your whole life that you're going to give to something you can't fix anyhow. But what you can do is, the fire's burning, you can't put it out, but you can get a soul out of it every now and then. You can pull somebody out of that mess. Give them the truth. And then they can have a peace whether the stock market goes up or down.
That's right.
They'd have peace whether the economy is healthier or bursting. Because now their vision has been lifted above these things. And we know how it's going to turn out. I preached, I guess, here last Sunday on how the end is most important. How it ends up. How it ends up. And if you know the Lord Jesus, you end up in victory. If you got your hope in this world, you're going to end up in defeat. I don't care who you're, rich or poor. When you die, you're defeated without Christ. You're lost without him. So it says here, they are of the world. They speak of the world. The world hears them. But, changing gear now, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Now think on this, how real this is to your daily experience. They that speak the world's language, others that speak the world's language, understand that language. We got the missionaries here with us, and some of them from lands where we can't speak the language, and they do well to come over here and communicate some with us. Well, the world's got its own language. In fact, you don't have to talk to people long to see where their heart's at. It's in the world, or it's above the world in spiritual things. And talking about it right here. They are of the world. They speak of the world. The world hears them. But opposite, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Now, let me stop just a minute. Have you ever walked in to meet somebody for the first time and talk with them a little bit? You know, it's not long you begin to get a feeling whether they know the Lord or not. That's Romans, 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit that is of God is in this man, and he's in you. It won't be long in your conversation. The Spirit witness will be there. It won't be long either if the spirit of the devil's in one. And you have the Spirit of God in you, you won't get along too long. You'll get uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. Have you ever noticed? I've had folks tell me through the years, and I know they probably said it as a criticism, but in a way I took it as a compliment. They said, when I walked in that church, I didn't like it. When I walked in that church, I was uncomfortable. I can tell them why. There was a spirit here that had a conflict with their spirit. Those two spirits were clashing. They were uncomfortable about that. Well, I went to that church and he made me feel worse instead of I went there to feel better. Well, I think it was old Billy Sunday, the evangelist of years ago that God used mightily. Somebody told him, said, this morning you rubbed the fur the wrong way. He said, well, turn the cat around and it'll be right. And that's exactly the truth. Scripture says it this way, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Now think on that a little bit. Spirits will join or they'll separate. The difference is the world. Now one of the biggest problems or that Christians face today is God's command after we're saved to become separate from the world. I just told you, John chapter 2 here, love not the world. Preachers get in more trouble today with their own congregation when they start preaching about staying separate from the world. You see, we want to have our cake and eat it too, don't we? We want to be born again and saved. Yes, I'd rather go to heaven, but in the meantime, let me travel the road the devil's traveling down here. That's where your conflict comes. That's where you get miserable from. Because the Holy Spirit on one side is convicting something's wrong, and the devil's pulling you the other way, and of course he's got his shiny objects to get your attention with, all the material things of the world, and that's the struggle. The hardest thing on the believer is separating from the stuff God tells us to separate from. Now I know you can be extreme, like some of you don't drink coffee, God forgive you. Now I'm playing with you some, I don't care whether you drink it or not. I had two cups this morning, but and I don't feel convicted about it. All right, I'm meddling now and I'm getting off track here. But the truth is, what the flesh wants to do, see, you when you get in this struggle between good and evil, when you get in this struggle between the Spirit of God and the flesh, when you get into that struggle, your feelings agree with the wrong side because they're fallen feelings. They're fleshly feelings, the depraved nature that man has. And you ever see a bumper sticker, if it feels good, do it? That's of the devil. Your feelings are against you. Sometimes the thing that feels right can be the most wrong thing you could do. And yes, there's sowing and reaping from it all. You sow to the flesh, Scripture tells us you'll reap to the flesh. Sow to the wind, you reap the whirlwind. That means more wind, more increase. That's too bad. Their struggle is there. But as a Christian, where you can have peace with what you allow and what you don't, and that don't mean you have the right to set it. The Word of God sets the guidelines. But here, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error down here at the end of verse 6. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I ask you today, this is a day and time this discernment is needed above, I mean, it's something else. In America, we see our freedoms fleeing away and being destroyed, and things we used to take for granted, like free speech. What a joke now. And the evil side is trying to control all the tools that free speech used to could use. Not so anymore. Now they want to tell you what words you can say and what words you can't. In many cases, you can't even call a woman a woman. Got a Supreme Court judge that just got on the court, and she was asked, worldwide TV, to define a woman. She couldn't. Congressman asked her, and she would not. See, it wasn't politically correct now to define a woman. I got news for you. If you don't know the difference in a man and a woman, stay away from me. I don't even want you polluting my atmosphere around me if you're that dumb. And you're not that dumb. It's just that you're denying truth. Denying truth. That's the devil's side. And boy, that is going on so big. Right, man, I'm straying now. There's a glare on the clock and I can't see it very well. I'm straying a little bit, but right now in the news, Elon Musk has got them all disturbed, hasn't he? Now, I don't know much about him. I don't know if he's a saved man or not. But if he believes enough in freedom to give folks access to Twitter again that was ticked off because of not being politically correct, he's got them scared right now. And y'all ought to pray for him. Saved or lost, pray for him that God will use him. Because America's freedoms are going down the drain. Everywhere, every way that we look. And you see, they say, well, you can't speak this way. Well, if I decide to speak that way, and they can take away the means I have of reaching others, this microphone, for instance, this morning, that I'm talking on right now, this radio station. In fact, I'll be honest with you folks, I think it's God's blessings and God's prayers that we are still on the air here. That's getting it right down where we live. The fact that we have been able through these years to have this radio station and the message going out that goes out from this church has to have God's protection on it, because it sure don't make the enemy happy. And I hear from time to time, and I want to say this, even as I'm teaching right now, I appreciate you folks that are tuned in. I really do. I appreciate every now and then getting a kind note from you. I even appreciate the bad notes. That encourages me to give you the truth even more. Amen. Really tells me you need it more than you thought you needed. Amen. All right. And I do receive both kinds. But thank God the majority is on the positive side. Big, big majority is on the positive side. And the truth of the matter is, though, our freedoms that we took for granted, now people are in jail as I speak right now for nothing more than speaking the truth. And even worse, moved to the age to where some of them have been arrested because there was evidence that they were thinking wrong. For the last number of years, I've even preached against what's called the thought police. Hate crimes. You ought to hate all crime. Hate crimes. I've joked about it, but I said if you're going to kill somebody, just before you kill them, tell them you love them. So it won't be a hate crime. Now, being facetious, of course. But that's the foolishness we have moved to in this crazy age. But God hadn't changed. His word hadn't changed. Right and wrong hadn't changed. And us being judged for right and wrong is not going to be changed either. I look here in the verses. He's talking to us personally inside the family. talking about the Spirit of God living within us, telling us we are of God. We're not of the world. The world don't understand us, and we speak a different language. Speaking a different language, you know, we learn the church language, don't we? We learn how to say brother and sister, and we learn how to sing Amazing Grace, and we learn. I hope we keep that same language when we leave. Because there's certain places in the world that language will be noticed if you use it. I remember many years ago, I just started pastoring. I was in the midst of one of the greatest revivals our church was having at that time. I'd been preaching about a year and a half, and God had really done something special. And we're starting a revival meeting that night. Just before church started, got a phone call. Mom and Dad had been in a bad wreck. And I was up in Sumter County. They were down here. Bad wreck. Didn't know if they were alive or dead, but I got a call. Well, now, to drop it and to go was the urge. I mean, tremendous urge. Get in the car now. The evangelist I was using said to me, he said, get in the car and go. It's your mom and dad. He said, I'll do the best I can without you. And the Lord spoke to him and said, trust me on it. Don't go till after the service. And so that night, I stayed till after the service, and that was the kickoff to this greatest revival I've ever been in my life for a number of souls and everything. I did go down after the service, and I found out they were not hurt as bad as first said, and I felt like God, I honored God on that. He honored me. I felt that way. But I'll never forget, I just stepping right out of a revival meeting, just stepping right out of church, getting in my car, driving an hour or a little more, and getting to the Winter Haven Hospital and getting in there where the doctor was and where Mom and Dad was in the rooms. And I'm the son now. I got to talk to the doctor. But you got to remember, I just stepped out of church. I'm still using church language. I scared that doctor to death. I'm not lying. Now, I noticed it, but it was too late to do anything. He literally run from me. I mean, we were there in the hall, and I called him brother. That scared him. And just reaction. And then I got God on my mind, and I'm talking about God taking care of Daddy and Mama. And that doctor, he just lit out of there, boy. I mean, I spooked him bad. And I thought, what did I do? Then it dawned on me. He don't know the language I'm speaking. He don't know the words I'm using. Now, we preachers, sometimes we're wise enough to know where we're at and what we say is going to be judged. But I hadn't had time to turn it off. I turned it on, and I remember it so much. All right, one story leads to another. won't do that, except that's what he's talking about here. We're not of the world. We speak a different language. The world don't hear us. And by the way, we ought to be real careful to not let the world make that decision for you and I as believers, because it's two different languages. It's two different contacts, two different spirits. All of that in the context right here. And I am out of time. Continued. All right, 8:57, Sunday school. That's not too bad. Praise God for it.